Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer. I'm an actress, singer, and entrepreneur. On my new podcast, Baby, This is Keke Palmer, I'm asking friends, family, and experts the questions that are in my head. Like, is OnlyFans only bad? Where do memes come from? And where's Tom from MySpace? Listen to Baby, This is Keke Palmer, only on Amazon Music.
Watch what crappens. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Eel Bluffs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? It's Ben. So cute little guy over there. Hi, Ben. What's good today?
Hi, Ronnie. Oh, everything is good. It's the weekend. We're facing the weekend. So everything is better than it could ever possibly be.
Face the weekend.
And we're recording this ahead of time of this, but by the time this is released, I will have appeared on That's a Gay Ass Podcast with Eric Williams. He's doing his very first own live show at Genghis Cohen in LA. And I was very privileged and lucky to be a guest on his show. So thank you so much, Eric, for having me. And everyone go listen to his show.
Yeah, it's so cool. I love that guy. I'm so jealous I can't be there to go see you. And at Genghis Cohen. And congrats on selling out, buddy.
Yeah.
It's like you sold out and out.
Yeah. And by the way, and speaking of live shows, our live shows are now all fully on sale. The pre-sale is over. Now it's general on sale. And in case you missed the big news, we have added Boston. We're going back to the Wilbur, and we're going to Foxwoods Resort and Casino, our very first casino show, which I am like deeply excited about because Foxwoods was one of the very first casinos I ever went to in my life. And I remember having the best time there. I remember there was a Wheel of Fortune, and I thought I was really smart. The Wheel of Fortune is basically like, it's kind of like a roulette thing. And I was like, what if I bet $1 on every single value, every single number? One of them's got to hit, and then I'm going to make a lot of money. And so I put a dollar on literally every number. And then I got like the lowest value number, and I basically lost all my money. And that's when I learned about the joys of casinos.
Oh, yeah. They'll screw you. That's what's fun. I can't wait to go. I can't wait. Craps, baby.
It's so fun. Yeah.
And I like
so
to see, like, there. I'd like to see if God's, like, listening. Because you're like, God, if you really love me. Because I learned how to pray around a craps table. My dad's shameless. Like, he will pray at the craps table. He'll be like, Lord. Heartache, Lord. Heartache. You know, it's like, you're not supposed to do that. I think that's in the Bible, but he does it. And it's a good test to see if God loves you. You're like, I just need an eight, Lord.
It's a good and authoritative test if God loves you.
Yeah. Like,
basically you should basically pin your self-worth with God on how you do at a craps table. I will say, I'm just thinking about this, Ronnie. That is going to be an amazing place to end our tour because, like, after party right there in the casino, you know, do the show in the casino, and then, like, everything's there. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. That'll be such a fun. We'll be up until, I don't know, how late is Foxwoods open all night long?
It's a casino, of course. It doesn't close. Yes, you go crazy. Meet us
after party at the Penny Slots, guys, if anyone needs us.
Penny, I'm actually a roulette and a craps guy, so sorry. Or a poker table guy where you go sit at the pokers with like the old hardened locals, and they are,
well, we gotta go to a craps table.
Surly to you.
We gotta go to a craps table. It's literally in our name. Okay.
Yeah, hello, Crappin' Stable. So yeah, that's where we're closing. But here is the list. We start on the 2nd of February, so just a couple, less than 2 weeks, which is terrifying.
Yeah,
terrifying. Austin, Texas, we open in Austin at Emo's. That's my hometown. Don't disappoint me. Come to the show. Come on.
Everyone show up.
Not saying you're not. I really don't know. I haven't checked. But then we go to Dallas, Texas. Then we're Phoenix. Then Los Angeles for the 2023 Golden Crappies at the Wiltern Theater. It's huge for us. That is February 24th. Then we're on to Charlotte, Atlanta, Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle, San Francisco, Toronto, Philadelphia, New York, New York, Washington, D.C., San Diego, St. Paul, Chicago, Columbus, Boston, Massachusetts at the Wilbur Theater, and then Mashantucket, Connecticut at the Foxwoods Casino to close it all out.
And I just want to say, we've started to assemble our guests for the crappies, and I do not think you will be disappointed. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's fun and terrifying.
That's all I'm saying right now.
Talk about wanting to see if God's paying attention to you. But God, God, please let Julia Roberts see this DM. Please, if you've ever loved me, please get Al Pacino this message.
Well, maybe they'll be, I mean, who knows? I mean, we might be able to shoot really big. It is Oscar season. And during Oscar season, those celebs will do any public appearance. So, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, give us a call. If you want to promote your, do you have a movie that's Oscar nominated?
She's been nominated so many times. Who gives a shit? She can come.
She can come no matter what.
Yeah, she's
I'm
got
just
all
saying,
this
I'm trying
work
to.
On it. Yeah,
I'm trying to sweeten the deal
a million damn times. There is no sweetening the deal. We're two jokers. You know, who just fuck around all night. Come on, it'll be fun. But today we are here for Real Housewives of Miami, and the episode is called Diamond Rings and Rumors.
As crap is on demand too. So, bonjour.
Hi.
We just posed for the camera. We just became two kids being like, "Is the camera that's on?"
I know. Actually, I don't see you most of these because I have to put my notes over the page because I will. I'm like Julia Fox on Watch What Happens Live. I just will sit here and stare at myself the whole time. Yeah. Like, oh my god, I look good from this angle. I look bad from this angle.
I do that too. I'm always adjusting my posture.
I look so hot from this level, you know.
Every time I look at myself, if you ever see my shoulders doing like a little shimmy, it's because I'm trying to like get them proper and fix my posture. But the other thing is I have to usually cover the screen with my notes because otherwise I try to get my eye line as up high, as close to the camera as possible. Because otherwise I'm like looking down and it looks like I'm slightly disappointed throughout the entire episode.
Well, I think that that's a good way to come into a Crappens recap. Always just slightly disappointed, you know?
I'm not disappointed today. Oh, God, I love Miami. And, you know, the show just is like literally every scene makes me happy.
Oh, my God. I swear to God. You know what I heard? Like, literally, it makes people happy. That's Larsa. Literally? Everything Larsa said, she's like, you know what? Literally, like, I swear to God, like this and that. Swear to God. Swear on my life. Literally, yeah. This happened.
Literally, like X, Y, and Z made me happy. And I noticed that Nicole's new thing is
this and that, this and that.
This and that, X, Y, and Z. But Nicole's new thing is that she's not saying malicious anymore, but she's saying honestly a lot. Like, she's really upped her honestly game. She's like, honestly? Like, I heard this and that too. Like, honestly, that's what I heard. Like, honestly, my dad will show up, but like, he better not bring his girlfriend. And like, honestly, we're going to have a great party.
Yeah, Nicole is really coming into her housewivesy self. Like, she's really getting down and petty now with the rest of them, which I think is funny.
But yeah,
she does still seem like kind of such a visitor to me to the whole thing because she's like, oh my god, I'm doing the pettiest thing to Larsa. It's gonna be so funny, honey. And her husband's like, okay, have your fun. Yeah. You know, it's like she's trying out a new hobby, like being an asshole on The Real Housewives.
Well, I think she's like a second half of the season bloomer because last season she was also kind of non-existent until halfway through when she started fighting with Larsa. So she's just sort of realized that she's on this show and needs to kick it up a notch, you know?
And Marisol. Yeah, fighting with Larsa and Marisol.
Oh, yeah.
Marisol, So we are in the middle of a fight because we are at the Purse Charity the charity event at the Purse store, and Nicole is like, oh my god, isn't it like crazy, Larsa? Like, we've never actually like just like sat here. And like, also, she has a major Kyle Richards Botox eye. Have you noticed that only one of Nicole's eyes blink half the time?
No, I haven't noticed that, but I'll keep an eye out on it.
By the way, Bueller's, no pun intended, like,
Bueller's digging in your pillows.
Why you gotta be like that? You know, people sit there. It's supposed to be nice furniture, darling. Right? Just relax.
He's looking for a bone.
Go lay over there. Go on.
And now he's acting like he never did anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Now he's hanging his head in shame.
Okay. There. Good boy.
He's acting out. He's in competition with Baby Gorgeous, your fish.
He is. So they're having this argument, and Nicole's like, isn't this nuts that we're, like, sitting together? Because, like, you know, like, we've never, like, actually even sat together and had a conversation. And Lars is like, you know what? Like, seriously, like, you literally, let me be honest, like, you said hurtful things to my face. Like, you said, like, you have to know me to, like, bring me to your house. Like, and guess what? Like, swear to God, guess what I heard? Like, swear to God, total truth. I heard you hooked up with every doctor in the hospital. Like,
yeah. So, Nicole is like, what the hell? She goes, and did I ever mention it? Did I ever think about it? No. Did I hear it? Yes. Okay.
This and that. You know what I heard? This and that about the hospital. This and that, swear to God.
Yeah, Dr. This and Dr. That both said they hooked up with you. Okay? Mm-hmm. They said, get me 10 cc's of XYZ.
And Nicole's like, how dare Larsa make a comment as if I'm doing anything inappropriate at work? I went to school for years to be a doctor and to take care of patients. And this comment is coming from a lady who sells her feet for $5 on the internet. And Larsa's like, who are you to judge me? Someone not making $5 on someone's cum over their feet. That's who she is. I mean, sorry, but you don't. It's like, listen, I'm all for the OnlyFans. If I had anything to put on OnlyFans, I would be on there. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any shame in the game. But to try and bring down somebody's reputation and then say, who are you to judge me? She's literally a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay.
She literally had to study for years and spend hours and hours and hours in a residency. So, yeah.
She can't judge you.
She was on the front lines during COVID. So I think I'm going to allow her to have a little bit of judgment.
And that is Dr. Judge to you, ma'am.
Dr. Judgment. Dr. XYZ, this and that.
So then Nicole's like, yeah, but, like, this is what you do, Larsa, because, like, you use these moments that get uncomfortable, and then you pick some random fact that can't be substantiated, and that could be detrimental to someone's reputation. First of all, don't say it's a fact. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't say random fact. Yeah, you're working against yourself when you say that. Say random statement or random accusation, but random fact is,
don't
like,
say that.
That's a confirmation.
Yeah, it's confirmation. And you know that Anthony's like, oh no, why did she say that? And Lars is like, yeah, but like, you picked something to judge me, right? Like, you went online, right? And Nicole's just shaking her head. And Larsa tells us, I was like mind-like boggled last year when Nicole said she didn't know who I was before I went to her home. Like, I've been friends with these girls for like a decade. Like, you know, I was married to a very popular basketball player. Yes, we know, Larsa. That's all you fucking got. You know, she's like, well, maybe she didn't know me except for my famousness. Like, maybe my famousness made her feel fat or something. I don't know. Swear to God. Like, I don't even know.
I just love that Larsa is so thick-headed that she still can't parse the difference between knowing, as in understanding who someone is and having heard about them and read about them and, like, interface with them at, like, some party, versus knowing, like, having a relationship, understanding who they are as a person in real life. Like, that, because that's the crux of this. And Larsa keeps taking it, being very, very, very literal about this and then being angry about it. So,
well, she's also just had a party in her new home where the people that she knew were invited to the party in her home, and the people that she didn't know that well and were just, like, casual friends were invited to the party room in the hotel or whatever the fuck she's living in. So the fact that she doesn't understand that some people are close enough that you have them into your home and some people are not, and you leave them in the fucking community center room in the hotel that you're renting, you know?
That's, like, a great point. She literally did the same thing. So the producer says, was there something about Larsa that made you uncomfortable about inviting her into your home? And Nicole's like, honestly, I didn't know her, right? Like, I didn't know Larsa from a hole in the wall, okay? And the hole in the wall, honestly, had more personality. So all I knew was, like, the stuff in the media, like, that she was married to Scottie Pippen. But, like, I've never met her. So, like, why is it weird that I would, like, want to get to know somebody before I want to hang out with them, you know?
Do you know how many people only know Larsa as a hole in the wall? I mean, just the turn of phrase. Yeah. She's like, why is it so weird that like I would want to get to know somebody first before they come to my... You are being an asshole. Okay, Nicole? Like, Larsa being an asshole doesn't mean that you weren't also being an asshole
in
that situation.
Nicole is being
a fucking asshole, and she's not owning up to it. Instead, she's like trying to make it like, what, it's totally normal to like want to know somebody before they come to your home. She's a cast member of your show, and you were treating her like shit because she was an OnlyFans, you know, crazy. She's Larsa. Like, I get it, but, you know, don't pretend like you were... I was just being nice. It was just reasonable.
But the issue was not that Nicole was having a party and decided not to invite Larsa because she didn't know Larsa. They were having a conversation in the Hamptons, and it was like a theoretical thing that came up. I don't even remember the context of why she brought up like, well, I didn't even know you. I don't know if I'd invite you to my house or whatever it was. She still wound up inviting Larsa to her house and everything. So it's not like Larsa was snubbed for something. It was just in a conversation, she mentioned how when she first met Larsa, she didn't know Larsa, and she doesn't... I don't even remember the context. But ultimately, Larsa, as far as I remember, and of course, my memory is very shoddy at times. As far as I remember, Larsa was never snubbed from something at Nicole's house.
Well, and I liked it. She even made the point. She's like, she was at my party. Like, I don't even understand what... She was at my house for dinner. And then we see her, like, really creepy appropriation dinner. I was like, oh, I don't know that they need to be showing this again. So then Nicole is like, hey, Marisol, come here. Marisol, do you invite strangers into your home? I'm like, yes, it's Marisol. Are you kidding?
She literally... Hey, person on the street, you want to have a cocky with me?
Yes. You know, Marisol's that lady who gets a folding chair out right in front of her front gate. And it's just like, yeah, it's getting a little sun. How are you, sweetie? You going to school? Huh? How's that going? What grade are you in? Oh, yeah. Business major. That's interesting. Come sit on my lap. Come on.
She runs a house of meh repute. So... So then Larsa's like, but I'm not a stranger when I've known everyone for 100 years. And Nicole's like, but I don't know you. Like, to me, I've met you like one time before, honestly. And Larsa's like, but is it weird for her to say to my face, I don't know you? And it's like, she's not saying she doesn't know who you... She's not saying like you just walked in and you're a complete stranger. She says, I don't know you.
But like also, that, you know? Why would Nicole call Marisol over for help? She knows Marisol hates her and is just waiting to get revenge. You cannot ever call Alexia or Marisol to help you. It's not going to work. And she does it twice in this episode. So she
needed
like,
a life raft. It was just Marisol was floating by. She was the door in Titanic and she needed to climb on it. She's like, I guess this will have to do.
Yeah.
It won't be great. We're not all going to survive, but I'll at least get on this thing.
Marisol's like, I was shocked, honey. I mean, I was really shocked when you said that. I couldn't believe that you said that. Could not believe it. And Nicole's like, well, I didn't intend it to be rude. And Larsa goes, you know what I feel about you, honestly? Like, can I be honest? Because, like, honestly, to tell the truth, like, you're, like, nice to people. You're, like, nice to everyone, to be honest. And Nicole's like, yeah, because I'm not an asshole. Just, yeah, but you're fake. Like, so you're fake. That's it. Like, to be real, that's it. Honestly.
Well, you know what? This is why we can never be friends, because you just called me fake. You just called me fake. And Larsa goes, well, I'm willing to move forward, which is kind of funny because that's kind of the fakest thing. Like, nothing's resolved. But she's like, let's move forward. And Nicole says, I'm not going to move forward when you're like fake. When you're like, you're fake. I'm not going to do that.
And they keep doing this thing, like it's the worst thing to say in your face, right? Because Larsa's like, I can't believe she like said she doesn't even know me in my face. And now Nicole's like, oh my God, you just called me fake in my face.
By the way, and meanwhile, Alexia is like talking to someone and she sees them arguing and she goes, these girls keep fighting. Like, I can't. Like, Alexia's saying that?
So then Larsa's like, yeah, like how you are sometimes, like, let me be honest, like you just like flow. And so Nicole's like, you know, the things she accuses people of, she does herself, like I'm aggressive, but she's the aggressor. Or like she says I'm fake, but like there's a lot fake about you. Like everything she says about people are her own issues, and then she deflects on herself. I'm like, yeah, It's called Being a Real Housewife. Have you even watched this show before? Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to the channel. And then it just cuts to a lady playing the violin, like,
The show is literally deflecting away to a lady on a violin. Like, everything deflects on this show.
But I love how, like, TV violinists play, because it's just, like, so into it. It's like you're playing at a purse store, you know? But she's like, oh, yeah. She's, like, bleeding out of the eyes. Like,
She's hoping she'll be discovered and put on the Oscars. So,
great Frere Jacques. Let me not take away from that, but could you move away from the crossbody? I'd love to check that out. Thanks.
Yeah, let's settle down there, Yitzhak Perlman. Okay. So, it's not
yo Perlman. Yo in my way. Okay.
Yo yo oh yo yo my. It's more of a cellist, but that's fine.
I'm just going for anything I can get right now.
Okay. Settle down, Viola Davis.
Settle down over
Violin
there.
Violin Manuel Miranda.
Settle down over there, Abo Bridges.
Settle down over there, Holly Hunter. Sorry, that has nothing to do with anything. I just watched, I've been watching Succession, and she showed up.
Hey, congrats on your new sitcom, Dan Clarinet, but I'm trying to get trying to shop here.
Hey, quiet down, Timpani Amber Thiessen.
Oh, by the way, you saw that Night Court's coming back, John Larroquette. I said Dan Larroquette.
Yes, I did.
Damn it. God, I suck at this. John Larroquette is coming back to Night Court. Who knew? There it is, everybody. Congratulations. I think on this very channel, on Peacock.
It was on NBC, too. They did a big push over the weekend, and I'm not fully sold on Melissa Rauch as the new judge. I'm sorry. I've seen the commercials. I'm not sold. But I'm sold on John Larroquette, and, good. Good. I'm glad the show's back for those who want to watch it.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's Comer.
Amazon Pickup is a convenient and secure way to collect your Amazon parcels from locations near you. Help keep gifts a surprise when you choose to pick up from an Amazon locker or counter. Parcels can be picked up on your schedule, and you can rest assured knowing that your packages are kept safe and secure. Plus, there's no additional cost to use an Amazon locker or counter. Find a convenient pickup point near your home, work, or the places you already visit. Amazon Pickup is the worry-free option for the times when home delivery isn't ideal. To find your nearest pickup location or to learn more, go to amazon.co.uk/wondery. That's amazon.co.uk/WONDERY.
Hey, I'm Arisha.
And I'm Brooke.
And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Rich, where we bring you absolutely true and absolutely shocking stories about the most famous families and biggest celebrities the world has ever seen. Our newest series is all about the incomparable diva, Whitney Houston. Whitney's voice defined a generation, and even after her death, her talent remains unmatched. But her incredible success hit a deeply private pain.
In our series, Whitney Houston, Destiny of a Diva, we'll tell you how she hid her true self to make everyone around her happy, and how the pressure to be all things to all people led her down a dark path.
Follow Even the Rich wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Then Lisa and Adriana are talking at another part of the party, and Lisa's like, how are you doing? I don't think I've ever heard you ask that before, so that's nice, you know, baby steps. And Adriana's like, oh, I got my BBL, you want to look at it? So she, like, spins around, and Lisa's like, oh, yeah, I can see. Yeah, don't worry, it'll go down 30% in a little while.
Yeah, well, I know you're going through a hard time, and I feel sad for you, but I need to tell you something. There's somebody big time in Miami who once told me you make him weak at the knees. Lisa's like, I don't get it. Who do we think Adriana is talking about? Who's big time in Miami? Is it Gloria Estefan's husband? Let's be honest.
I have no idea who this could be, but I cannot wait to find out. Because you know that Adriana will be messy and bring him around, you know?
Yeah, the mayor of Miami.
So Lisa's like, really? I'm not even like in that headspace because like I'm thinking like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now, you know? Because I have this man, a man that I loved, a man that I had no idea anything was wrong with, and he loved me, and I was a princess, and he was a prince, and now what? Now look at me, all alone, with nothing, completely blindsided. I was like, do they even tell her that the scene has changed? She just comes in and does the same thing. I know you're going through this in real time, and I'm really sorry for you, but I'm getting tired of your divorce storyline. Cut the cord, get it over with, okay?
Ronnie, it's not just a divorce storyline. It's a divorce and grocery storyline, because she still has to buy that the strawberry jam or whatever. Peanut butter and
the peanut butter avocados. Strawberries and shit.
She still hasn't gone to the store yet.
Oh.
So Lisa's like, clearly this man has lost it. I mean, treating me like I'm the enemy. Okay, I'm the one with the Trader Joe's loyalty card here. So Alexa's like, okay, oh, well, you know, everyone gather around. So she thanks everyone and she gives a really lovely speech about the DeMoya organization and talks about her journey with Frankie. And, you know, we see some footage from 10 years ago of sweet Frankie as a kid in recovery. And it was really nice to see how far he's come. And it is a nice reminder of really like all the shit that Alexia had to deal with to sort of recover him. And, you know, like it was definitely an uphill journey. So that was really a nice little moment there in the middle of all this madness.
And then we get to see Peter, and he's not hitting a woman or filming himself punching a homeless guy. So,
yeah,
you know, good for you guys. It's going great over there for the most part. So then Frankie, like, is to pose for all of his pictures, and he's so cute. Yeah. They're like, Frankie. They're pretending to be paparazzi everywhere. Yeah. So then Marisol goes to hug Larsa by, and she's like, well, I'll see you at Nicole's engagement party or whatever that is. There's a bar there, right? I'm going to be, I love cockies. I'm a drinker. I hope we can mix soon.
And Larsa is like, Larsa says she's going to Nicole's party, but she goes, I just feel like I can't be phony. Like, I feel like someone's like a certain way. I'm just going to like say it, like, you know, like if they're like a little bit of this and that. I can say they're like a little bit of this and that and X, Y, Z.
I can't like be phony. You're wearing a Kardashian face and you've like ziplined an ass into you. What are you talking about? I don't even recognize you. So then we go to...
Ass.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
The ass was hanging on a zip line and it just went flying through the air and attached itself onto her butt.
What was I trying to say?
I think maybe mainlined or injected.
I don't even know.
But I like the idea of just an ass. The ass is like, come and get me.
I'm going to pretend it didn't happen. So we go to Julia. She's giving her goats treats, you know, and she's giving them like that Trader Joe's dried fruit. She's spoiling her goats. And then she starts getting afraid because they are following her really aggressively now. And that's why you don't go into a giant goat pen and start handing out Trader Joe's treats. Okay.
I know.
Do you really do this? Because I'm starting to get the feeling that she's like fake farmer. Because you know those people who are like, I have farm. And you're like, you have like two chickens and, you know, I've already said all this.
No. Last week, your take on it was like, wow, she's like a legit farmer. Like she's a farmer that actually like makes food. And this week,
chickens.
Suddenly now, like you saw one donkey and you're like, you know what? She's a fake farmer. Because there was like a donkey in the mix there. I don't know if you noticed, but I was like, I think it's a donkey. It was not a pony. She would not have a pony. She would have a donkey. But there definitely was like a little donkey.
She had like a whole, I think like I saw the Netflix special about her chicken farm. I mean, there were like hundreds of chickens, you know?
There were.
And so I was like, she's really serious about selling those eggs or whatever. But she doesn't know certain things. Like you don't drag around a goat on a leash in bedazzled overalls. Like generally that's frowned upon.
Mm.
Or, you know, like taking actual food into really hungry animals that could knock you down and will knock you down, you know? That's all I'm saying. I'm not buying it today. We'll see next
week. Yeah, today at the farm, on the farm stock market, and wherein the stock market is merely it's not market value. Yeah. It's just Ronnie's, fondness for your farm.
Yeah, right today now, you're full of shit.
It's sinking. Yeah. It's low on the Ronnie farm market.
Yeah.
So then we see Lisa with her kids, and the kids, I guess, were afraid of ghosts and monsters in the room. So she's like, all right, kids, let's go into your room. We got to find the monsters and get rid of them. So the kid takes like a toy grenade and throws it in the room and blows them up. And I was like, whoa, this kid is, I mean, they're like, he's playing like Call of Duty, throwing grenades in the room, and he's like 5 years old.
I was
like,
not only that, this kid, I mean, listen, just read the news in America in the past 2 decades. It's not good to have your kid in full army gear. I mean, he's got like full on like gear. He's got like a little bulletproof vest, and like sunglasses, and like a little green beret, and like, what's that stuff? Like, camouflage and shit, and then like little toy grenades.
Could we like maybe just do crayons and draw little things? I don't know. Listen, I'm not a parent. I don't really know how to parent. I give a lot of advice about something I don't know about. But I don't know, like, what about like a nature walk?
What about tying your child up and throwing it into a closet until it stops obsessing over weaponry? You don't even have to be a parent to say, in America, it might not be a great idea to have your kids running around in full army gear throwing grenades.
Yeah. How about this? Why don't you take your kid to a museum? How about that? Not that museums don't have a lot of violence depicted there, but it's like oil painting violence, which doesn't feel as violent.
Jesus. So just put your kid in a waking coma, feed it through a straw until it's old enough to be past all this bullshit. That's what I say. Play classical music while he's under.
Yeah, teach him the violin, and then maybe he can be playing at a cocktail party.
Then he can be making Yo-Yo Ma jokes at purse opens.
Yeah. So then we go to Gertie and Russell. Speaking of kids, now Gertie and Russell have decided that they're going to do family game night with the kids, because last week it was like, well, you hang out with the kids all the time, and like, I don't see the kids at all because like, I'm not into Star Wars. So like, I'm just going to go do something else. So now Gertie is going to make up for lost time by having family game night with two very unenthusiastic teenagers.
These kids are so pissed. And so is Gertie. She's holding a big one. She goes, okay, we're going to get family night started. So they go to the living room.
We're going to do charades. Charades.
No, they call this charades. This is not charades at all. But it's that game heads where up. You get an okay, heads up, where you, there's a clue on the iPad and you put it on your forehead so you can't see it, but everyone else is telling you what you're holding over your forehead. And you can tell they're not a family because, again, this is not charades. So
yeah, so they start playing it, and she's basically, Gertie's saying how she just wants to spend more time with the boys, and Haitian culture is all about discipline before love, but she wants to change and everything. So they're playing, and Gertie plays heads up pretty much the way you'd expect, which is that like when Russell is doing it, it says like High School Musical. It's like, it's like a scroll. It's a thing. It's a place where, I could go in there probably with an estimate of like maybe about like $10,000, but I'd mark it down to like $200 because it's not average person. And we could put Milo on the walls. We could have a prom. We could put centerpieces on the table. They're like, high school? Yes, exactly. High school. All right. Perfect.
And you really do tell how a family bonds when they play games like this, like when you play with your own family. Like me and my mom can always get each other, but no one else really can get us at all. And that's how this is, because it's Gertie's and she has like High School Musical. Then she's like, it's not big, but it's like the fish girl. She combs her hair with a fork. She sings a song. I guess she's pretty. It's going to be released again. Like, big fat octopus really mean to people. And they're like, what? But then Russell gets it's a Little Mermaid, duh. But then Russell gets up there and he's like, Jar Jar Binks, blah, Darth Vader, blah, the Republic. Yeah, he doesn't even have to do clues. Anything.
Yeah, the kids give him the smallest clues about Star Wars. They're like, beep, boop. Oh, he's like, oh, yeah, Glubiblar, whatever, or Commander Blurg, or Carbonite, or something. Like, they just, like, get all these Star Wars references, and Gertie's like, what's going on?
So, they all end up cracking up, because one of the, Manu, her assistant, is there now playing with them, And the clue is on Gertie's forehead, and it says, horrible bosses. And Manny's like, this is one you should know. And the kids start cracking up.
Yeah. And Gertie's like, you better tell me what it is. So they're all laughing. Now we go to Julia. Julia goes to a restaurant with her personal friend and stylist, LaSalle. Because LaSalle, he and his husband have two children that they've adopted. So she wants to get some input from him. And Julia's saying, she starts talking about, she's like,
yesterday I talked to Augie and I have potential all-American brand for e-com. What is e-com? I don't want to sound stupid, so I just said yes, but what is e-com?
He's like, e-commerce. She's like,
oh, is that where I sell pickles?
Yeah.
He's like, it means it's all online.
Oh, nobody like waiting in line. All that, you know, you work your way up in future. So we're talking because he has two children he and his husband adopted, and I wanted to talk to him about me and Martina adopting.
And then the waitress comes over. She's like, hey there, welcome. I was like, where'd they get this chick? And Julie goes, I will have plain Jane. And she goes, that's a burger. You want onions?
I have a question. Could their fish that they make there, could you let the chef know that 15 years ago I made very good fish? Okay, I made very good fish 15 years ago.
Oh, God, are you the idiot who tried to ship a fucking dresser over here? My friend Tommy worked for that company. Still talks about it. So LaSalle is trying to explain to her that adoption's difficult. You know, and that there, and it is, it's like notoriously difficult to adopt a kid. And he's saying there are so many steps that you have to take. You know, at one stage, they come to your house.
Which one, farm or city? I prefer farm, Martina, city. So if they want me, farm, Martina, city.
He's like, no. It's like they're coming to do a check to make sure that this kid is going to be okay in the house.
Oh, it's okay. We plug outlet with fork.
No. Like, what do you do around?
Goat. Baby raised by nanny goat. It is the way.
And what are you going to serve this child for the meals?
Dry fish and pickle.
Pickle. And when the baby has too much vodka, pickle. Every time.
Olive oil, pickle, dried fish, but I could do fish very well. I could do it.
Yeah. And he's like, let's just put it this way. It's a journey, and you guys are going to make it. You're paying for this dinner, right? Because I'm not going to pay to have to sit through this shit.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing that's going to be tough for Julia is I think that the adoption people are... They will be invasive because I feel like they're not going to want to leave. I think they're going to be in that house. They're just going to want to be like, oh my God, we're in Martina's house. Let's just like draw this out and like see if we can become friends with Martina. Could you imagine?
Like we have to do another interview with you guys. And it is unfortunately on the same night as the Glee reruns on Peacock. Is that going to be okay?
Maybe we should just like watch them all together. I don't know.
Guys, all the office needs to interview you. Sorry, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's going to work, okay?
Hey, they were saying that in order to adopt a baby, we have to see if you're a good tennis player. So maybe we should all play tennis together and like maybe take a photo as a group. I don't know.
Yeah, they're just never leaving. But then she wouldn't even need to adopt any kids. She'll be like, I have no family now. Adoption agents.
She adopted so nice. Adoption agents.
Dinner for four.
So then we go to Larsa. Larsa, don't ever forget it. I'm all of this first, but second, I'm a mom. Honestly, like, so we see Larsa in one of her like good mom scenes where she's like, Preston, did you make these cookies? It's a rock. Like, you have to make it again.
Yeah, Preston, I guess, made cookies that went stale right away, which means they were probably overcooked to begin with. But, Larsa's doing her quote-unquote mom scene, wherein she has a cutting board of very, very neatly sliced veggies. I'm going to say that she bought some pre-sliced veggies.
She did not slice this shit. That girl that she's always having over to try and make a friend.
Zara? Zana?
Yes. That girl sliced all that. Larsa didn't slice all that.
Yeah. There's no mess in this kitchen. This is not a kitchen that is... no one is cooking in this kitchen at this moment, because we know what a kitchen looks like when you're cooking in it. Yeah. There's at least a few things. There's like a spoon somewhere. There's olive oil. It is not pristine. And then a cutting board of perfectly sliced veggies.
But this is also just... I mean, Lars is like, I totally cook for my family. And it's just such a lie. I mean, just how she does it. So it's a pre-cut plate of veggies, and she just throws them all in a pan and then throws a chicken breast in there. Like, that's not how that works.
Just like, who here wants sad veggies and chicken breasts? I mean, these poor kids. That is
poor kids. That is
chicken breast and pre-sliced veggies. I mean, there's actually nothing wrong with pre-sliced veggie. It's just more like how thin
people eat, maybe. I was just like, maybe that's how thin people eat. Yeah.
It's thin food.
But like, you don't even do the onions and peppers first. Like, you just throw everything in at the same time.
I know. That's the thing. But that's why I'm saying it's so sad, because it's one thing for her to eat the thin food, because that's like the lifestyle she's adopting. But to force it on her poor son, who's sitting there making cookies, he's trying, she probably iced those cookies that way they'd be hard, so that way he'd have to throw them out. Oh well, have to throw out the fun food.
Yeah, those are her toy cookies to look like a normal person. So she tells us Scotty Jr. is gearing up for NBA draft. Honestly, like, Dustin's in Europe, and to be truthful about it, like, Sophia's in Miami with me. Like, they're just like so unique and like different, and I just like love that they're like so unique.
Yeah, they all have different names. It's so unique. Hey, look, Scotty Jr.'s on TV. Let's look. Oh, look. Oh, no, now he's on Hinge. Mom, that's a basketball game. Yeah, that's where you find people to date, right? It's Hinge.
So then Gertie comes over, and she's like, oh, hi, Gertie. She's like, oh, my God, I've been doing so good, because I had this whole thing, because after the thing that happened with Lisa, like, it was so hard, I had to say to my own husband, do you want to be with me? Like, are you still in love with me? Then we fucked at the beach, like, actually at the beach in the parking lot, which was really funny. But then we were playing something called charades, but it's not something like charades. It's something like it's on your forehead, and everyone just points at you and calls you stupid and a horrible boss. I think it's better. Oh, my God, why did you talk like that to Nicole at the party? What happened? What happened, girl?
Yeah, you know what I learned about that party? Do you know that they have, like, Bentleys when you go to the opera?
What?
Yeah, they literally have Bentleys that are designed for operas. You ever heard Phantom of the Opera? It's crazy. I learned this from this game. It's absurd.
Well, I mean, at least you guys are communicating. And she's like, no, but, like, I saw this thing at the party. Like, something, like, you called her fake or something like that. Why would you do that? She's like, because, like, get this. Like, honestly, to be honest, like, she said, like, she needs to, like, get to know me before, like, this or that. Or, like, I get to, like, do this or that in her house. And, like, that's hurtful to me, because I know things about you too, friend.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then it cuts to Nicole and Anthony at a restaurant. And Nicole's like, I've been like juicing all week to fit into like my tight and tiny dress for tomorrow. And he goes, so by juicing, that's drinking juice, right? You're not doing steroids, right? And she goes, Anthony, oh my God. I've got to get into this dress. But what's more important is I have to flex on camera. I'll have the foie gras, please, and the caviar pasta on top of the lobster cocktail. Thank you very much.
Yeah, because they're in the private dining room at Fiola. And she's like, yeah, you know, we're having this party and it's like a big deal to us, because we don't care if we're married, but like we could be getting married, but like it's a big deal. And we have this lady, and like she's like, do you guys want like a party at like a 10, or you could have like a party at like a 7, or you could like maybe do like a party at a 3? And we always say 10 every time with a party.
And then we cut to a week earlier, and this party planner is like, okay, so we have a photo booth moment, and it's like this new machine. We also have this new machine. Like, you're going to be one of the only ones in Florida that have it. Okay, so, like, imagine, like, a helium stand, okay? But instead of filling it with air, you're going to fill the balloons with an alcohol mist. So then you take, like, balloon shots. And I'm just like, this woman is conning you. She's getting a helium thing from Party City and saying it's the only one in Florida. I'm going to tell you that you're going to feel high off of it, and you're just going to assume you feel high.
Yeah. So Anthony asks if her dad is going to be invited. And she's like, yeah, but I said, listen, I want to be abundant and clear. We want you to come to the engagement party, but, like, it's an invitation for one only. And he's like, okay, but, like, let's stay chill, even if he does bring the girlfriend. And she's like, yeah, well, I'm sorry, babe, but I can't get over Larsa. So she's not going to talk about the dad issue at all. So she's so excited to announce that she's finally becoming a truly petty Real Housewife.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, I couldn't react in the moment because, like, I was so caught off guard by how ridiculous and malicious the comment was. But, like, the more I thought about it, like, I was like, she's so ridiculous. Like, what she said was hurtful. And I've worked so hard for her to be so cavalier and reckless. And it's like, I know you want to say malicious. I'm not going to say it.
That's what I thought too. Like, she was trying so hard not to say it.
Yeah, I feel like maybe she listened to this podcast and was like, I'm not going to let them say malicious this year because I'm not going to say it just once.
I'm not giving them malicious. No, so she's like, this woman has no moral compass guiding her. And Anthony's like, well, she's got some gall because she'll say anything and not even think about how it might implicate her. I mean, she doesn't look past literally her big fat butt. Literally. I was like,
literally. Honestly, she has, like, zero respect for what I've accomplished because she has no idea what it is to work for something because everything she's done in her life has been on the backs of somebody else. And Anthony's like, oh, literally, high five, get it? I'm basically calling her a slut. High five.
Right. And it's like, she has everything because of who she married. She keeps her last name. Like, who does that? Anybody who has children with the person that they divorced, that's not abnormal. I mean,
have you ever heard of Yolanda Hadid? Hello.
Yeah.
Except for when she turned Foster, when it was really cool to be married to David Foster. But then she went back to Hadid because, you know, the kids.
Oh, the kids. You keep the most famous last name that you are allowed to keep. I mean,
I think that's very fair. I think you should keep your most famous last name.
She had four damn Pippin children, and she was with Scottie Pippin forever. Now, is she a monster? Of course. She's Larsa Pippin. But she's still, like, the woman gets what she gets, and she gets to keep the name Pippin if she damn well wants to, sir.
She is a Pippin, and she can find her corner of the sky if she wants to.
That's right. You know, that musical is annoying as fuck, but it still has the right to be performed.
We're just never going to go see it.
Yeah,
because both of us dislike it. Actually, I only know that one song, but I hate that song. I had to sing it in ninth grade, and I hated it so much. That to this day, the entire musical, I will refuse to see.
I can't with Pippin. Okay, so then she's like, oh my God, you're so bad, Anthony. And then she goes, well, you know, like the way that she is with me, like people like her, the only feasible way to like deal with them is to like reflect it back on them. So I'm going to reflect it back on her. And he goes, what does that mean? So then we're back at Larsa's and we hear ding dong, this and that, this and that, this and that.
XYZ. That's her ring cam.
So she opens the door and there's a gift delivery. And she's like, oh my God, like Nicole sent me something. How random is that? To be honest, like it's so like truthfully, it's like so random.
Yeah. So it's in a box and she opens up the box and there's a mirror and the mirror has a message written on it that says, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fakest one of all? No,
Larsa's so dumb. She can only pick out certain words. So she goes, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fake one?
She doesn't even read it right. Who's the fake one?
Take a good look. And she just see her looking either, confused. She's trying to get just like the syllables that she can put together. She's just like, take a good look. Like, who's the fake one?
She was like trying to figure out what the she's like, I don't really get it. But Gertie gets it. She's, oh my God. Listen, as someone who just played charades heads up, I totally understand this reference. Sleeping Beauty. This is a Sleeping Beauty moment. Gertified. No.
She's so funny.
No, you got that one wrong.
Because then Gertie comes in and reads it correctly, which is so funny. She's like, oh my God, look at this. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fakest one of all? Take a good look. See yourself. It's you. You're uninvited to your own, you're uninvited to my engagement party. And I was just like, wait, what? Where'd all those words come from? It's here. It's on the mirror. Oh, excuse me. I look really pretty right now. Like, can I be honest? I look really good. I look really good with words. I wish words were more in right now. I'd wear them more.
Wow. Oh, my God, Gertie. This person in this plaque is, like, really into me. How do I give her, like, a $5 discount on my OnlyFans?
Oh, so then Gertie's like, oh, my gosh, Larsa. This is terrible. And Larsa's like, well, let's just see if they even get married.
And then it cuts to Nicole, so proud of herself, saying, isn't that witty, Anthony? Like, see yourself? Get it? See yourself? It's a mirror. Like, it's a mirror, but it's like saying, see yourself away. But it's also because she reflects, but she also deflects. So she deflects into her reflection and then says, you see it, Anthony? He's like, Yeah, I got it.
So it's the day of the party. They've rented out some bank or something, or I don't know. It's really nice wherever they rent it out.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So everybody's getting dressed and, you know, so usual. Let's call each other while we're getting ready. So Nicole and Gertie are talking while they're getting made up. And Gertie's like, oh, my God, you better pick up. You better pick up because you look so pretty. But you know what? How could you even do this before your party? Because, like, I'm so in shock right now. Like, it was crazy because first I thought my husband was going to leave me because of what happened with Lisa. So then I have a charades night with my kids. That was crazy. Like, I have kids who don't know what the Little Mermaid is. I'm like, how could I even have kids like this? That's not gertified. Those aren't gertified children. And then this mirror that you sent to Larsa, what is that? What is that, girl? Girl, you better tell me.
Like, if there's like a Little Mermaid, there's a Big Mermaid. And the Big Mermaid is this situation here with the mirror. Okay, this is like shocking. Okay, what was that about? You didn't even tell me. You had me sitting to this awkward ass moment. Like, I'm like, what the fuck, you know? So Nicole's like, well, you know, I purposely didn't tell you that I was going to uninvite her because I respect our friendship. And like, I didn't want you to have to like sit there and know that I was going to be doing this. And she goes, oh, okay. Okay. It makes sense now. Okay. Now that you say it, I was like, what's going on? And I was like, I felt like I was a roadkill. Okay. Am I like collateral damage in this whole thing? Like maybe she thinks I knew, like, I swear to God, Gertie is all in a tizzy, not because Nicole did something really obnoxious. She's in a tizzy because she didn't know Nicole was going to do something obnoxious. And then was like, am I on the outs? But now that she finds out that everything is good, she's like, oh yeah, cool. Okay, great. Fun gag.
So Nicole's like, well, she is fake. She's fake head to toe. And so Gertie's like, oh my God, Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Let us pray now. Let us pray. So then we go over to Larsa and she's like, I'm so happy. I don't have to like burden myself. Like, honestly, I'm just going to spend time with like the people that I love. Like, and then we just see her cleaning off dog piss stains off the couch.
So now we go to this event space. Nicole and Anthony arrive, and Nicole explains that the theme for the party is because they met each other at the Wynn Resort in Vegas, that it's that they found this old bank vault, and the whole idea is like you hit the jackpot, so it's like money themed. And so Sorrel shows up, her mom, and Sorrel is just like very funny. So she Nicole offers her a drink of a signature cocktail. So I was like, okay. And she drinks. She's like, like, what's in your terrible signature cocktail? Mom, it's like tequila. Like, she's like, not going to keep up the guys.
So then Julia comes and Nicole's like, oh, yeah. So I uninvited Larsa. She's like, I am so glad you did this. You have to teach people and show them some things are not okay. And I have news. Guess what I've wanted more than anything in the world? A potty trained goat.
No.
A potty trained donkey.
Yes, but no.
No.
Potty trained chickens.
I mean, I want all of these.
Yes. Hey, adopting a baby, adopting a child. And so they cheer and stuff.
They're like, shoot, we thought you were going to say the kitchen timer for your fish. Okay.
So then Kiki comes and she just gives like a hi to Julie, and Julie's like,
hi.
And she's literally shady. I love that half of Julie's face is shaded during this scene and they didn't even like move her into the light. And so she's just ignoring Kiki, which, come on, Julia, I like you, but stop being mean.
Yeah, I don't like that she is in a feud with Kiki, because like, I love Julia and I love Kiki, and I need them to be friends.
And it's not fair, because like, I know that everyone makes mistakes or whatever, but when I'm a fan of somebody, I get really upset when they do things wrong, when they do things I don't like. Like, come on, Julia, don't be like this.
Well, the Kiki thing is also ridiculous, because she basically went so hard at Kiki when everyone else has done equally terrible things to Julia. Like, I mean, Alexia was terrible to Julia. Okay, Alexia was literally terrible to Julia, and Alexia was still invited to whatever.
Well, it's not even about Julia. No one was mean to Julia. It was about
Adriana.
Yeah.
Still. So Marisol's on the way, and Alexia calls up, and she's like, oh, well, you know, Peter says your boobs look beautiful. She goes, thanks, babe. I did this for you. Titties for you. Titties for you. Ronnie, don't you love that word? Titties. Titties for you.
So then Adriana's coming with Thierry. She's like, I'm so excited for tonight, the party. They're such a great couple. And Thierry's like, yeah, yes, they are. And she's like, oh, and so tonight, after we clear the air, it will be a good time. And she tells us that after all of this controversy that Larsa is trying to spread, or Marisol is trying to spread, she's like, so Thierry brought me a stamp certificate of divorce with a seal, and this is the proof that he is not married.
Meanwhile, it's like written in like Zapf Chancery font with clip art all over it, like a little clip art old-timey finger and like flying toasters. It's like, yeah, totally authentic.
Did Carol from Lion King make this for you? Have you heard that news about Lion King?
No.
Carol is saying that they've found her husband, that the feds found her husband alive in Costa Rica.
You said Carol from The Lion King, as opposed to Carol from
Joe the Tiger guy. What's it called?
Tiger
Man.
It's not called Tiger King.
Tiger King. I think it is.
Tiger King? Joe Exotic. Tiger King, yeah. But like, when you said Lion King, I thought there was some gossip about the Lion King show.
Carol,
so I was, you're like, and I was like, so I thought like it was a concept, like, oh, we heard about this meme, I'm Carol from Lion King. But when you're like, oh, did you hear about Carol from Lion King? And then he said, well, Carol said this. I was like, wait, who's Carol in Lion King?
Sorry, Tiger King. So Carol from that says that they found her. I don't think there's any proof of that. She's just saying that they found him, but I don't think there's any other proof than that, right? I haven't been able to find any. What say you? Dead or not? What happened to Don? Don's dead, right?
Don is dead.
Yeah. Okay,
Don is dead.
I always have to ask you, the world has just gone so fucking crazy. I don't know what's going on half the time. I read the news and then I come ask you about it. I'm like, is this real?
This world is on fire, like something on a gas stove. Anyway, Adriana and Terry.
Oh, yeah, you'll get to my big gas stove freak out on Dwell Hello, episode 302. I was there was smoke literally coming out of my ear about gas stoves. After we recorded that episode yesterday, I had to have a moment with myself where I was like, Ronnie, what's really wrong? You know? Because you're too mad about gas stoves. And I don't even know what the controversy is. I don't even know why I'm mad. But I was really upset.
Ronnie was on one about the gas stoves. I'll just say that.
So thank you, Ben. So that's something to look forward to. Thank you for being such a patient person. Because I was like, who are you?
It's just funny because Ronnie will often be like, look, guy, like Ben, let's be entertaining. Let's not be political. And then you're like, all these people with the gas stoves, they want a band to get.
Well, it's not being political because I don't even know what the argument is. I'm just like, you wake up and then suddenly everybody on your Facebook and your Twitter is like, this is why you're furious today. And we are furious about it. I'm like, oh, God, now we're all supposed to be out there fucking marching for or against gas stoves. What'd the gas stove do? I'm just exhausted. You know, I'm just exhausted.
It's a lot.
This is the kind of anger I like. Housewives anger. you know?
Yeah.
Like, did Adriana just Photoshop her, you know, or Facetune? It's probably not, it's probably just like some Facetune document.
It's a face. Oh, I like it. It was like ugly paper. So she Facetuned the paper. Like, there was a wrinkle in the paper. She's like, the paper had too many little holes on the side. It's like, it was Epson dot matrix paper, wasn't it? Yes.
So then we see the dad, Mike, show up at the party, and he pulls up right next to a convertible, with overflowing with gold balls or whatever. So he shows up and he's like, what's going on? Like, the dad is just shit-faced already. He comes in, he's talking on his phone, he's in sunglasses, he's saying hi to people. He's like, just random people. And you know he's not talking to anybody on the phone either. He's like, yeah, deal. Hey, good to see you. I'll be right with you in a minute. Deal. Buddy, let's make some deals tonight, all right? After we party, buddy.
Hey, yeah, I'll see you at the highlight game. All right, everyone. Where's my daughter? All right, yeah. Yeah, you know where my daughter gets all the talent from? It's from me. I go, he just starts making this noise. He starts going, and Kiki's watching him, and she's like, oh, yeah. Well, she gets her talent from the daddy. She goes, I love it when you call me Papa.
And she's like, you want me to call you Papa? And then we go to commercial and we come back and she's like, you want me to call you Papa? And he's like, yeah, you're beautiful. I like when you call me Papa. And she's like, seriously, Nicole's dad. Wow. But I like him.
Kiki. They are kindred spirits. She's like, he came in with Burger King. I liked him. So then Marisol shows up. Marisol's wearing white. And she's like, oh, did you know it was black tie? I didn't know it was black tie. I was hoping it was going to be big titty as the theme. Because I got them out for you, Alexia.
And of course, she shows up to this wedding event wearing white. Because she's Marisol. That's how she goes. Rolls. So the dad's like, you're here, Nicole, you're here. Oh, hey, bartender. What's up, Dave? How you doing, buddy? Want to make a deal later? And Nicole's like, oh, my God, of course my dad knows the bartenders. Jeez.
And the bartender's like, is this your dad? Is this your dad? I've known him for years. And she's like, yeah, it is. Oh, God.
And then so we see him tell the dad. He goes, listen, they turned off the spigot, but I'll bring you a vodka rocks. It's like Nicole told them not to serve him. And he's still like, don't worry, I got you, buddy.
Yep. Got him. So and Marisol's like, I like him. He sort of looks like a lot of people I remember from the 80s. Okay. I mean, Nicole's dad is like 2'2", just like Nicole. And he has sunglasses on inside. That's a typical drug dealer look. He's taking me back to my old school Miami. I love his dedication to prop work with those glasses. From one prop artist to another, God bless.
I love how much Marisol just loves Coke and the old Miami. She's just like, yeah, fuck yeah, I do Coke and get fucked up all the time. I live in Miami. She doesn't say it like, oh, God, typical drug dealer. She's like, oh, yeah, now that's a drug dealer look. I found a new best friend, you know?
Yeah, takes her back.
Yeah. So Nicole comes in for a hug from Marisol, and she's like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you, Marisol. Like, what are you trying to steal my thunder? JK, only JK. Okay. Yeah. And she's like, oh, my God, I would never try and steal your thunder. First of all, you'd have to have some titties. Got some titties right here.
Yeah. And Nicole's like, hello, like, aren't there, like, rules of conduct? Like, black to a funeral, unless you're Lisa. I'm pretty sure Marisol's been married a few times. Hasn't she worn white enough? Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send her like a mirror tomorrow, but it'll have like a white border. And I'll be like, look at the white around there. But it's also you and your face. Oh, it'll be so good.
Marisol's like, by the way, I saw your dad in the sunglasses inside. I'm going to have some drinks with that man. She goes, yeah, like he like high fives with the bartender. I'm like mortified. She goes, yeah, that's my new buddy. All right, bye.
You can send me a mirror anytime you want at a party, if you know what I'm saying.
I know she goes to hang out with the dad.
So Gertie shows up and everything, and then Johnny and Alexia show up. And then, and then just people are showing up. Mike Mike shows up, or Mike is there.
No, Mike is the dad.
Mike's the dad. Sorry.
Marisol goes over to him, and she's like, hi. And he's like, huh? And she goes, hi, I'm Marisol. I saw your sunglasses, and I said, that's the man I want to hang out with. You look like trouble. And he goes, always trouble. I like your shoes.
And then he's like, so what do you think about Nicole? She's amazing, huh? And Marisol goes, yeah, she's growing on me. She's growing on me. I was like, how do you say that to someone's parent? They're grown on you.
And Alexi is immediately there too, of course. So she's like, oh, we know Nicole is amazing, but what do you think of her fiance, Anthony? What do you think of that? What do you think of him? What do you think of Anthony?
And Mike takes off his sunglasses very slowly and gives a scowl like, ugh, Anthony. But he goes, he's more than amazing. He's a gentleman and a scholar.
So Alexi is like, I feel like Nicole needs to accept her dad because he's a lot of fun. And if she would just focus on the good things, maybe she could be happier. Like, maybe you should not tell people like with serious growing up trauma to just get the fuck over it.
Yeah.
Ma'am. Also, I know that your son's going around causing people the trauma, so I can understand your willingness to just get past anything and everything that happens to come up, but you're not really in the right this season ever. It's amazing.
So now the women sort of all sit down on sofas because they're like, okay, we have to have a scene. So they all sit down and they're just like sort of joking a little bit. And then Alexia is saying, I guess Marisol's joking that she, because she's dressed in white too, that Anthony's going to get drunk and marry her by accident. And Alexia's like, oh, well, you know, you can't do that twice because like, oh, well, you know, Marisol and Steve are like, they're not even legally married. Like they went to Tulum because that's where everything on Bravo happened this season off camera. They went to Tulum and decided to have a spiritual wedding. And so they like function as like a husband and wife, except they're like not legally married. And they also don't spend any time with each other and maybe don't even like each other.
So I think it's funny how she just tries to shoehorn that in like it's no big deal because, yeah, that was the thing last year. Everybody's like, Marisol's not married. There is no proof that Marisol got married again. She is solely doing this for storyline purposes, you know?
Right.
This is just like some gay that she knows that she enjoys being wasted with or whatever. That's the word en el calle, okay? That's what I'm saying. So she's like, yeah, everybody knows it. It's not even real. So Marisol's like, well, I never got married here, you know. Like, I just don't want anyone to take the patent fortune. Do you know how many magazines literally we're still sitting on? Oh, yeah. How can we never hear about the magazines and stuff anymore? She's PR, right?
Yeah.
She was right. PR, and Alexia was the magazine.
Alexia had the, what was it called, Venture Magazine or V Magazine or... Or Avenue magazine.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Okay.
It was like, magazine?
For this time, yeah. Oh, well, you know magazine. So for Alexia the fall, I want to say like, oh, well, you know, Peter in the fall, he likes to wear pants sometimes because it's like the weather is like colder.
Hello, this is Justine from the Alexia News Network. This is Justine in the magazine. Peter has chosen to wear a sweater today. So if you see him, say, love the sweater, Peter. Thank you so much. Alexia News Network out.
So Alexia goes, oh, no one has to take your fortune. You just need a prenup for that. And Julia's like, I don't have prenup. And they just all stare at her. And she's like, yes, when we were getting married, everyone on Martina's team said, you are marrying Russian model. You need contract that. So she brings this contract to me. And I look and I say, oh, I cannot see. Oh, this contract. What is this? Do you need me to take 5 hours? It's going to take to go through this contract. And she said, never mind. And she threw it away. It's like that.
Wow.
That is the best rebuttal to a prenup I've ever heard.
Yeah, well done. You want me to waste 5 hours reading this? As if there will not be a waste of many more hours down the line.
I cannot see.
I can't see. I can't see prenup. Oh, fish steam in eyes.
So now the dad's talking to Nicole. And he's like, hey, I'm on my best behavior. Okay, huh? And she's like, you know, I'm like so happy that he like showed up showed up alone. But like, we may be getting into the drunk zone. And that's like not what I want.
So he's like, all right, now I'm going to tell you a secret, and I never told you this before, okay? One day, Anthony's going to walk in the front door. It's going to be like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm not saying it's going to be like me, but he's going to come home and he's going to say to
Dad, I don't want to have this conversation right now.
Ah, it's a secret. I'm giving you a secret.
No, I don't want a secret, Dad. I don't want a secret, Dad.
Okay, I love you then. Okay.
What do you think his secret was?
He's going to come in and he's going to say, I fucked somebody. And it's not that I don't love you. It's just I'm a man. That's what men do. I think he's like trying to conflate his own failures as a father and put it on Anthony and being like, you would forgive Anthony, right?
Yeah. Or he was probably going to say, here's the secret. He's going to come home at 11 a.m. and he's going to be tired and you just get down on your knees because that's all he really wants and that's how you keep a man. Like, he could be doing it the other way around of like...
Oh, my God.
Meaning like he's saying like if the secret to keeping your man around is to service him, right? Like, I wouldn't have left if it had been that way around, the other way around.
Ugh. I don't know, but like even the imaginary things we put in his mouth are just so offensive, you know?
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I can imagine he would say that.
I'm being grossed out by him saying that in my imagination.
The theoretical version of him.
Yeah, it's disgusting. He's a pig. So then we go over to Gertie and the girls. And she's like, well, I don't know if everybody knows this, but I played charades with my family and it was so fun. They don't know what a Little Mermaid is. I don't know if I can be with the family like that. But also, Lars is not coming tonight. And they're like, what? And then we see this show's favorite thing to do. Here's what happened 2 minutes ago. Lars reading the mirror going like, mirror on wall. Who? What? And cuts back. And so Mary Swell's like, oh, so there's mystery about a box. What's going on here? And Nicole goes, yeah, well, if you're going to come at me with ridiculous accusations, I'm going to reflect it back on you with a comical disinvitation because it's a reflection. You do get it?
I'm just like, no, you can't, you don't get to do this anymore, okay? Because you don't get to make these reckless, wild claims to everyone in the group. It's not just me. Again, I just want to highlight it was a ridiculous and comical disinvitation, okay? Again, does anyone understand the wordplay going on here? Because I've been saying reflection, so I sent her a mirror. Does anyone need me to elaborate a little bit more? Because I can do that for you.
So then we see the clips of Larsa just being shitty to everybody. She's like, yeah, Lisa, you know what's funny? Like, I was looking online, swear to God, and they were, like, saying you rent your house out every week to make your mortgage. Weird, right? God, swear to God. And then
Julia, someone said that you were making out with a man the other week. Wow. Isn't that?
And then cut to her telling Adriana, you're, like, bipolar-like. You're insecure-like. And that's it, like. And then cut to Nicole.
I heard you hooked up with every doctor in the hospital. That's just what I heard.
But the girls are all mad at Nicole, right? Because Alexia's like, like, Alexia literally looks down at her nose and just blinks when she's upset at people. So she's doing that. And Nicole's like, yeah, and you know what Larsa is? She's an arsonist. She likes to throw matches, you know, match, match, match. And then she'll see what catches. And I have not done anything to her. And Alexia goes, you said you had to check her before you let her into your house. So that's something you did. Right, girls? Right?
And Julia's like, well, I don't allow anyone in my house until I know who they are or if they are a goat.
So Nicole's like, well, I like to know, like, people before I let them into my house. And that's, like, not uncommon. And Alexia goes, well, I don't think you're very nice. And that's my opinion. That's just my opinion. I just don't think you're very nice. No, it's my opinion.
And Nicole's like, but I did invite her to my house. She came for dinner. I didn't even have to Google you, you know? Like, you know how you have to Google the Kardashians are dating? No, you just find out. And that's the same with Larsa. Like, now I know she's dating Michael Jordan's son. Did I have to Google it? No, I didn't. So, like, I don't have to lie. But the thing is, she's, like, lying about me in a way that could affect my career, like, financially.
By the way, bravo to the producers for being so quick to be like, oh, this Larsa Pippen news is breaking. We need to get an interview with Nicole right away to slip it into the next episode. Somehow, some way.
So Alexia says in Spanish, where there's smoke, there's fire. And Nicole goes, I don't agree. And she goes, then, you know what? Just don't pay attention to her then.
Like, just treat her like she's like Linda Cardellini. Just like ignore her, you know?
So Alexia's like, yeah, you know, it's just like, but it's silly disinviting people because if you don't want them there, then why would you invite them in the first place? So you could disinvite them. Are you new to this?
So Kiki is like, me personally, knowing Nicole, she doesn't give me that vibe. Like, who has time to sleep with the whole hospital? That's a lot. A whole hospital. It's a big hospital.
Oh, gosh. So Nicole's like, Alexia, you can't just make up lies about people. And Alexia goes, then why does she do that? She goes, because that's what she does. She's like deflecting. And Alexia says, well, yeah, but everybody does that. We all deflect. And Marisol goes, yeah, we do. All of us deflect. God, get your head out the ass, Marisol, for fucking 5 seconds. Have your own thought process for 5 seconds. That's 10 seconds.
I do.
But I'm just doubling down on like how much I want you to have 5 seconds of your own thoughts.
I really like how when Nicole accuses Larsa of deflecting, that Alexia's response is to deflect about deflecting.
Yeah.
Like, she literally is like, Larsa deflects. Well, we all deflect.
It's like a mirror ball.
It's like a meta deflection.
So then Nicole's like, but you know what, Marisol? I work for someone and there's a code of conduct and I could lose my job for that dumbass accusation. And that's not true. Marisol, it's not true. Marisol's like, don't cry. Oh my God. Yeah, she's crying.
Well, I'm sorry. It pisses me off. Like, I'm sorry, but it's not nice, Marisol. It's not nice. Marisol's like, well, I wish I had been uninvited to this engagement party. I mean, we argue all the time. This is crazy. Lars is the lucky one.
And Alexia's like, anyone can say whatever they want. She goes, yeah, but where do we draw the line, Alexia?
Yeah, Alexia, anyone can say whatever they want. Not, I'm sure if we go back to the footage, we see can find so many instances of Alexia saying, I can't believe she's saying that, like, at my party. Like, this is like my engagement. This is my wedding party. How could she be saying that at my wedding? How could she be saying that at my engagement party? How could you be saying this at, like, right in front of Frankie, you know?
So then, yeah, Nicole's like, yeah, if the tables were turned, she would be pissed. And so Nicole just gets pissed and walks away. And she turns around to them and she goes, the day you guys work for something for 20 years and then some girl who's never worked for anything in her life tries to shit on it, then you can come talk to me. Okay?
Yeah, she goes, then you're going to get pissed. And then Alexia goes, yeah. I guess to be continued. I love Alexia being like, yeah. Like angry agreement, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so gosh. So
that was it.
What a show. Well, brings us to the end of episode 10 of Mijami.
I'm really happy because I told Ronnie before we started recording, I said, I am going to find a way to mention Linda Cardellini in this episode. And I almost forgot. And I found a way to really gracelessly insert her name right there at the end there. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for giving me the space to do that.
Everybody, thanks so much for being here. Go get your tickets for our live shows over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Thanks to everybody on demand who's watching on video right now. Come join us, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney. Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, She Has No Last Namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, You Can't Have a Burger Without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, She Only Uses Her Power for Good.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says. It's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland you. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.